I want to go on to a little further. I'm going to skip some stuff. Costs. No one likes to talk about money. But just to let you know, what is the cost of responding to an OED letter? And this is cost that's going to be costing you money, because time is money, because you may have to prepare a response to OED, and then it's going to take time to do what you have to do, to gather evidence, to gather documents, put them together, respond to the questions, respond to the allegations, et cetera. The cost for a simple response is somewhere around $20,000. A complex case can run as high as $65,000. Supplements, OED may ask a requirement for information, has supplement questions. That can run you anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000, again, depending upon the complexity. Disciplinary proceedings, just to file an answer, a showing of exhibits, securing your experts, getting your case prepared, is going to run you somewhere between $75,000 and $100,000. And if you go through the whole proceeding, it could cost you as high as $500,000. It's very expensive. Plus the fact,
Cam, you're very expensive. I think you're very expensive.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not expensive.
You have very high budgets.
Very high budgets. It depends upon what you have to do to defend yourself. And my practice has always been to advise a client that if OED has one solid count, settle. There's no point in wasting your money. If you lose and you seek reinstatement, Rule 11.60D says that they can tack on the cost the office incurred in the disciplinary proceeding. Risk situations. I'm going to go briefly through these. Conflict of interest.
Cam, can I add one thing there,
sure,
though? And I don't know if you were doing this, but one way to really cut, you know, the costs of a proceeding and cut the proceeding short earlier is that OED will grant you the right to come in and meet with the OED attorneys and have an interview. And it's a great process. It allows the attorneys to get the information right away, to meet the practitioner. Oftentimes, those cases can be, you know, settled shortly after that initial meeting. And I know that Will Covey, the Deputy General Counsel for OED, his position is that anytime a practitioner requests a meeting, one of those initial meetings at the beginning, they'll grant it. Is that right, Dahlia?
Yes, that is correct. It's actually a win-win situation if you think about it, because you get to talk to us, we get to see you and talk to you, and it's a good way to kind of evaluate and assess the person. Very often, black and white documentation is not enough, and even a telephone call is not going to be sufficient. So it is important to have that face time. And again, to bring in any documentation, it's a very good way to size up, if you will, an individual and how they are. So very much we like interviews. We like for you to come in and talk to us face to face. Yes.
And the interviews, as my experience has been, is the interviews are for settlement of a case. Whatever the settlement can be negotiated. I think early on, though, Cam, they're great.
Like, I've had experience with the office where I brought people in and we've presented the case early on after I left the office, and the office has basically conceded the case. So I think it's a great, not only for settlement, it's great if you think you have a really good case and you want to convince the office that they should just let it go. And the lawyers, like, I think the other thing worth mentioning is that it's not like going to the Justice Department, you know, and meeting, you know, Robert Mueller's attorneys or whatever. You're actually meeting people who are pretty nice. They're very reasonable. They want to resolve the case. The people at OED are not looking to exclude people from practice. They're actually you know, looking to find ways that you're actually not liable for a disciplinary charge. So
you will find that they are very reasonable to deal with, but they have a tough job. I mean, they're dealing with a situation which they did not create, but the practitioner created it. And they have to make judgments, and they have to judge your career and where it's going to go, depending upon the severity of the misconduct that the practitioner has engaged in. Two quick things. First, maintenance fees. Tackner is a good case to look at for maintenance fees. A lot of times, maintenance fees takes basically a second hand to patent prosecution. Practitioners lose basically contact with the maintenance fees aspect of patents, put it on their administrative staff to take care of, and the administrative staff falls on its face and doesn't do what it's supposed to do. And the practitioner finds out later the patents have expired because of the fact the failure of their staff to pay the fees. The supervision is very important here. You need to keep on your administrative staff. If you're going to do maintenance fees, you treat it just as you do patent prosecution. My recommendation, and I recommend it to Miles and Stockbridge and also McDermott, DeWill, and Emery, get out of the business. Give it to, tell your client to hire one of these annuity companies to pay the maintenance fees. Then you're out of it. You don't have to worry about it. The other thing, invention development companies. This is an easy way to make money, easy way to find clients, but it's lethal to your practice.